Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Any attempt to preach and to practice New Testament Christianity requires an understanding of the biblical revelation of what is sometimes called the unknown tongues. Now, this was a New Testament phenomena which was not characteristic of previous dispensations. Isaiah spoke prophetically of them in Isaiah 28 in verse 11, and Paul referred to that prophecy in his discussion of tongues in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 21. Tongue speaking was one of nine spiritual or miraculous gifts or powers characteristic of the early church as listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Many, even though they teach different and contradictory doctrines, claim today that they are possessors of tongue-speaking power, just as miraculous as those of the first century. One wonders if the Holy Spirit is placing His endorsement on their confusion, however. There are five groups of verses dealing with this subject, and two lessons are intended to give a brief investigation of each group and Paul's inspired regulations of the tongues. First, let us read from Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 15. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word, with signs following. Amen. Now it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. The signs are the powers the apostles would receive. The them refers to the apostles of verse 14, and those that believed their message were granted these powers. Not all had these abilities, but wherever the gospel is preached, even yet, the report of these miracles are preached. It is important to note, friend, that the passage does not say that these signs would continue to be reworked, and reworked, and reworked. In fact, the duration of these powers is not discussed in this passage at all. That is found elsewhere. And among the signs mentioned, new tongues. They were not new in the sense that they had never been spoken by anybody. They were new to those who would be speaking them by this power. The tongues were for a sign, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 22. They were used to confirm, to verify, to prove, to authenticate the message that was preached, Matthew 16, 20, such as also taught in Hebrews 2, 3 and 4. The message now has been verified. It has been confirmed. It's even been committed to Scripture. It is interesting to note that those who claim to have miraculous power to what they call speak in tongues today, even as recorded here, they do not perform the other miraculous deeds that were mentioned. We wonder why this is. This leaves them very suspect that they have any such thing as tongue-speaking power either. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, we read of the record of the events on the day of Pentecost. The apostles spoke in tongues as a result of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon them, just as Christ had promised the Holy Spirit would come. In John chapters 14, 15, and 16, and in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. People from many nations who spoke different languages were present that day, and yet they heard these Galileans speaking languages not native to the Galileans. The tongues were languages. Acts 2, verse 4, 6, 8, and 11. The languages spoken were new to the apostles, but they were not new to the hearers. They did not speak unintelligible babble, but languages that the hearers could understand. It was a miracle of speaking. We are not to understand that an apostle rose to speak and spoke some weird noise, that everybody understood the one noise in his own speech. Rather, the apostles could speak with many languages so the hearers could be informed. They spoke languages that were not normal and native or unnatural to them, languages that they had not learned, but now could miraculously speak. They did not speak gibberish, induced by emotional reactions. This was not some kind of heavenly language or some ecstatic babble. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 46, at the household of Cornelius in Caesarea, this Gentile and those of his house spoke in tongues. Peter had seen a vision in Joppa instructing him to go there, and six Jewish brethren went with him. Cornelius told Peter why they wanted him to come, and Peter responded, "The gospel is for all." And as Peter began to speak, the Holy Spirit came upon these Gentiles, and they began to speak in tongues, Acts 10, verse 44 and 46. This reminded Peter of the event on Pentecost of the direct manner, not the same measure, but the direct manner of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles at that time. Peter explained that to brethren later on in Acts 11 and Acts 15. Paul wrote that tongues were for a sign to the unbeliever, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 22. On Pentecost, they were a sign to those who did not believe in Christ. Here, they were a sign to the six brethren who came with Peter, that the gospel was for the Gentiles as well as for the Jews. And the report of this event later was a sign to other brethren as well, in Acts chapter 11 and Acts chapter 15. This is the way that those to whom Peter explained the events understood the purpose of the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the Gentiles. These were not the way that the Gentiles were saved, nor was it to show that they were already saved. At the time that the Gentiles were able to speak in tongues, the gospel had not yet even been preached unto them. It was a miraculous event showing the universality of the gospel, and as evidence to Jewish brethren in Christ, who were with Peter, that what was taking place had God's approval, and it was at God's direction. In Acts chapter 19, Paul was passing through Ephesus, and he found some there who had been baptized of John's baptism, but who knew nothing of the Holy Spirit. One who has been baptized by the authority of Christ has certainly heard of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized was the instruction that was given in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and Matthew said, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." Obviously, these had not been baptized correctly, that is, for the right reason, and not by the right authority. So Paul took them and baptized them again, this time the same way Peter taught people to be baptized on Pentecost. Now John had baptized looking forward to the coming Lord. But the Lord had already come. He had lived, he had died, he had been buried, he had been raised. John's forward-looking baptism was no longer valid. And we can learn here that when one has been immersed, but with the incorrect understanding and for the incorrect reason, the proper thing to do is to baptize them again, and this time correctly. And after their baptism here in the city of Ephesus, Paul laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit, being granted miraculous powers, the ability to speak in tongues or languages, and this they did. Now we must inject here the way the Bible teaches people receive these miraculous powers. In Acts chapter 2 and in Acts chapter 10, they were given directly by the Holy Spirit. Here and in other places, the people were given by the laying on of apostolic hands this miraculous power. In Acts chapter 8, Philip, and he performed miracles, evidently did not have the power to enable others to perform miracles. But when the apostles, Peter and John, came to Samaria, they laid their hands on some, and they received such power. Acts chapter 8, 14 through 17. Simon, who wanted to buy that power, was sternly rebuked and was told this was not any of his business. This was an apostolic prerogative entirely. Now, one of the reasons Paul wished to visit the brethren in Rome was to impart to them a spiritual gift, Romans 1 and verse 11. His presence was required in order to do that. And one reason we know the miraculous age has ceased is because the apostles who performed miracles are dead, and those on whom they laid their hands are dead, and the power to impart such miracles belonged only to the apostles, and it did not extend beyond them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14, there we have a discussion of the miraculous or spiritual gifts that were found in the early church. Chapter 12 lists 9 gifts, among them the power to speak in tongues or languages. Chapter 13, often called the love chapter, does discuss love, but in context shows the superiority of faith and hope and love over the use of miracles. Miracles would vanish away. They would fail. They would cease. There was a more excellent way, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31, and that is the way of love. And chapter 14 reveals limitations and restrictions and regulations regarding the use of the gift of speaking in languages or tongues, which we're going to discuss in a following lesson. Now, these tongues are called unknown tongues. The word unknown does not appear in the Greek text, and you'll notice it is in italics in the King James Version to denote that it is an added or an explanatory word. The tongues were not unknown in the sense that nobody could understand them or spoke them. They were languages that various people spoke customarily. They were unknown to the speakers. The languages were not normal and native and natural to them, not having been learned, as people can learn other languages, but were given to them miraculously for the purposes already discussed. They were known miraculously. Again, they were not unintelligible babble and gibberish and emotional raving. Before going further, let us gather up in summary what we have learned. Tongues were peculiar to the early church, not to previous ages. They were prophesied to occur. The ability to speak them was due to the supernatural or the miraculous. They were understandable and intelligent. They were not senseless babbling or in a hyper-emotional state. They were tools to convey and confirm the message of truth that was preached. They were used to take the gospel to every nation. They were possessed by certain ones either by a direct operation of the Holy Spirit or by the laying on of the apostles' hands. We have learned in what sense they were unknown. We learned they were assigned to unbelievers and a temporary measure never intended to be permanent. In a future lesson, we shall discuss this particular matter further. But the use of them was governed and regulated by divine direction. And we want to discover more what the Bible has to say about this New Testament phenomena of the unknown tongue. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.